were wrestling with the definition of three important terms, not only in America, but throughout the world: diversity, inclusion, and equity. This is Pat Bosco. I spent 50 years as a university administrator. This podcast addresses our interest in being more authentic and making an impact in the lives of those we serve. As I think about defining diversity, it's a commitment to inviting someone to the dance. Inclusion is they actually get to dance. And equity is the fairness of how we make sure that we have level playing fields. As controversy as those three topics are, it's important that we address them today more than ever before. I graduated from a predominantly black high school in downtown Syracuse, New York. I was a product of social integration in the 60s. It changed my life. It gave me an opportunity to be uncomfortable, to be around individuals who looked differently than me. Spending my sophomore, junior, and senior year in a high school where I took two city buses to and from school changed my life in many positive ways. An opportunity to be in situations where you're certainly outside your comfort zone. But I have to tell you that after I left school and went to work at my neighborhood grocery store, I became a majority student again. White privilege kicked in. Now, what do I mean by white privilege? Well, it's not having that talk with your children. Now, what do you mean the talk? You mean the sex talk? No, I'm talking about the talk that black mothers and fathers have to have with their children about when they're confronted with a police officer. I never had that conversation. Well, actually, I did. My father, when I was about 12, 13 years old, sat down and said, if you ever have a problem with police, you come and talk to me. I'll have your back. No matter right or wrong, we know people. Didn't quite know what that meant, but it gave me a different feeling than when a black colleague of mine talks to his children about the interactions with a police officer. He probably doesn't say those words, I have your back and we know people. Very different experience, the talk. That's part of an old white man takes for granted. As we think in terms of the university experience, I remember sitting in Dr. Chester Peters' office in 1970. And he was our vice president of student affairs and was my advisor and mentor for many years. He was upset with the fact that the Board of Regents and the Kansas legislature had a policy in place that if you're in a wheelchair in the state of Kansas and you want to go to college, you can go to Emporia State. That campus would be accessible to students in wheelchairs. Well, he talked to me in terms that I'd never heard him before. He was an even-keeled gentleman, and he talked to me about what an injustice that is, that a student in a wheelchair was limited, the number of courses and career plans. They couldn't come to our school, that we were not going to spend the money, the state of Kansas, to make sure that K-State, the number one choice of Kansas high school graduating seniors with 250 academic programs, they're not going to have that opportunity if they're in a wheelchair. That changes their lives. And he talked in a very sincere, personal way. He said, Pat, what happens if I'm in an accident and I'm in a wheelchair? What does that say to me if we're not going to be accessible to all people, regardless of their disabilities? That stuck with me. And thank God we have the ADA regulations and federal laws in the 90s. But you can see how things involved even on a campus, that the very foundation is accessible and affordability and opportunities for all. That in 1970, there was a Kansas policy that said, we're going to put our money in another school and you can become a teacher. But you want to be an engineer or an architect, or you want to go to the largest teacher college in the state of Kansas, it's not going to be K-State. You're not going to wear purple. You're going to go somewhere else because of your disability. That's not us. When I would welcome parents and students during summer orientation and enrollment, I would challenge our students and our parents as new members of the K-State family that during their K-State experience, whether as a new member of the family or a continuing student or returning student, that we move from tolerance to genuine appreciation for cultures that are different than ours, religions, political thoughts that are different than ours, that we look at our educational opportunities in and outside the classroom to move outside our comfort zone, to move from tolerance, which is really the law, all the way to the other side of the continuum for genuine appreciation of people that think, act, look differently than ourselves. That's part of the K-State experience, to be able to have that kind of opportunity. We're building a multicultural student center on our campus, an opportunity for us to celebrate differences as well as uniquenesses. It says a lot to our, not only our people of color, our faculty, staff, and alumni, to have a center, but it's for the entire university family. There's a misnomer that that building, that space, is just for people of color. That would misrepresent the very premise of why we're building a multicultural student center. That is for the entire campus, to give us an opportunity to celebrate differences, to celebrate the opportunity for us to make differences and make inroads in terms of our accepting those who think, act, look differently than ourselves. That's an important part of distinguishing characteristics of our school. I first learned about universal design from our individuals who work with some of our special populations. Universal design started as an architectural term, dealing with making sure that buildings and facilities are accessible. The universal design goes further than that. It recognizes that when you put in a ramp or change a doorknob to a lever, you make it easier for everyone. That it's an opportunity for us to make sure that something that we do for what we think might be a special need turns out to be something that benefits everybody. Universally, we benefit from that design. 10 years ago, we received recommendations from our LGBT community regarding unisex bathrooms. And we moved very aggressively to make sure we're responding to needs not only of our transgender community, but we realized very quickly, as we discussed it with the entire university family, that we all have a concern about family restrooms and privacy. That when we first visited about moving toward unisex bathrooms, we thought maybe we were responding to just one small important element of our student body. Turns out that wasn't the case. I think about as a grandfather taking my 3 or 4 year old granddaughter into a men's room. There's a period of time where she's no longer interested in going in to a male restroom, that we need to have that privacy. We found today, as we move toward family restrooms throughout the campus, that there's a long line waiting to use those restrooms. That here's another example of universal design benefits everyone. And that's what we ought to be moving toward. Services and programs and facilities that demand and champion access for everyone. That's an important part of as America moves forward, that we think about our commitment to diversity, inclusion, and equity exactly the same way. As a white male who understands the benefits of white privilege, I bristle when I listen on TV or read about, well, really, black lives shouldn't matter more than anybody else. Well, as we think about where we are right now, it's exactly the same as universal design. There are challenges that we have with this specific occurrence in our country. Let's respond to that. We want to make sure all people are safe. We want to make sure law enforcement officers are safe, where everyone is respected. And it's important that we recognize that right now, we've got to concentrate on this specific incident in America that's videotaped. And let me say, we have to be very open and say that these instances happened before. The difference is we're seeing it on videotape, because in the past, it may very well have been one voice against another's voice. It's important we recognize it was a commitment to diversity and inclusion that we embrace Black Lives Matter. Diversity and inclusion and equity speaks to our entire family as Americans. You can't get more controversial today in expressing a definition in a very personal way about diversity, inclusion, and equity. I hope you take it in a positive way, that we think in terms of how best can we, in our own way, answer the question, what can we do?